best and the brightest.
Opportunities.
The next idea.
We're going to find that these social and cultural factors really add a lot to economic growth.
Innovation, creativity, ideas that could move Michigan forward. That's what The Next Idea has been exploring since we launched it on this program back in November 2014. In those more than 3 years, we've heard from a wonderful array of innovative, creative, entrepreneurial people who have indeed made a difference in Michigan. And today, as we wrap up The Next Idea, it's fitting to spend this time with our partner, the University of Michigan's Dean of Innovation, Jeff DeGraff, and talk about what we've learned and where these ideas can lead us. Always good to have you here.
Glad to be here, Cynthia. You know, it's very funny to see how quickly the 3 years have passed. And this all started with, I gave a State of the Economy talk a number of years ago and had an interesting conversation with our friends at MEDC and some other people about, could we showcase, you know, artists and educators and community leaders and executives and entrepreneurs and inventors and clergy and everybody in our state, because people are doing some very interesting things. And boy, you guys have done a great job. We've certainly seen a lot of those people and heard a lot of the really interesting things that people are doing to grow this state.
Well, we have to really start by thanking you for your energy, your support and ideas, and also the support from the Michigan Economic Development Corporation. So did you ever think we'd find out that there were so many people with so many creative ideas?
Well, I think that's largely Michigan radio. I mean, you know, I certainly love being supportive, but I think really it's your staff here has done an amazing job sort of finding these people. And it's always, you know, this sort of 6 degrees of separation where, you know somebody and they know somebody and they know somebody. And my favorite stories are the places that you'd least expect innovation, that you really see people doing a lot of imaginative things with very little money, with very little support from anyone, and really exhibiting a lot of that wonderful sort of ownership, that self-authorizing behavior, whatever we're going to call that, really getting things done on their own.
When you think about what we've learned from these more than 38 months of exploring ideas and creativity, I think, first off, innovation certainly is not the domain of tech-oriented white males, is it?
No. And in fact, that's radically changing. And, you know, one of the interesting things that we have to be honest about here is, you know, we were pretty far behind for a long time. We've still got a lot of catching up to do, but we've certainly made some good efforts. I don't think we're above the waterline yet, but we're certainly moving that way. We're starting to see things in the state at least to begin to sync up, and we're seeing at least the beginnings of some more inclusiveness.
And you write that we need to encourage churn, meaning what?
Well, one of the big challenges is everybody talks a good game about innovation, but you really have to accelerate the failure cycle. People talk about failure all the time, but I want you just to think about, you know, whether you're a teacher or you're a professional or you got your own business. It's really hard to go through it. So everybody kind of abstractly talks about it, but they don't really do it. Are we really willing to tolerate the kind of failure and the kind of investment and the real kind of pushing and shoving in a polite way, in a good way, that constructive conflict that really produces innovation? I think that's really the proof in the pudding. Are we really willing to do that?
You know, thinking about our Rust Belt history in this state, what does the big challenge that you think Michigan faces in taking ideas and then designing and producing them in a way that is sustainable?
One of my big points, and I've sort of harped on it, if you will, to your listeners, is that we really have to end regionalism. You know, I am a native of the state, and one of the things that I really see is Ann Arbor is one of these hotbeds for startups. In fact, it has more venture capital per person than any city in the United States. And Grand Rapids is this great, robust economy of mid-cap companies and sort of that whole western side of the state. You see Kalamazoo, Traverse City to a lesser degree. If we can get the real estate of reasonable so young people can live there, that'll be another story.
Very much.
Of course, you're seeing the comeback of Detroit with large capital. We have all the makings of a robust economy, but you have to sync them up. Whether you're looking at the Brookings Institute reports or whether you're looking at what industry leaders are doing, that needs to be dialed up. I certainly think we've made steps that way, but we certainly could do a better job with that.
Well, to that point, we should let everybody know there is an Issues and Ale, Michigan Radio Issues and Ale, coming up this Monday, 7 p.m. at Pretzel Belt in Ann Arbor, digging into this idea of all these silos when you think of, as you say, Grand Rapids in Ann Arbor and Detroit, of all these good things going on, but these silos exist. And that's what you're going to be getting into, how entrepreneurs and businesses in Detroit, Ann Arbor, and Grand Rapids can really build this regional cooperation.
Yeah, we're bringing some wonderful people who've been on, who from all three of these areas, and how to do that and have a real meaningful discussion. You know, this is a We're living in a time where I'm beginning to wonder, I don't know if your listeners are, but I'm beginning to wonder, does government even matter anymore? You know, the whole notion of the divisiveness of everything and all of
the gridlock,
all of the anger that doesn't produce anything constructive. And what I'm seeing is sort of at a grassroots level. I'm seeing people get together and I'm seeing people make the kind of inroads in doing the kinds of things that maybe a decade or two ago the government would have been supportive of. So, you know, I think we're maybe beginning to get into an era of we might have to do some things ourselves.
I'm talking with the University of Michigan's Dean of Innovation, Jeff DeGraff, as we kind of wrap up the next idea. Well, as we all know, Detroit didn't make Amazon's shortlist, Jeff, for its second headquarters, because according to Amazon, the region doesn't have the necessary talent pool. Have we learned anything from the next idea and how to address that problem?
I think we have. I think this is the most disappointing area over 3 years. If you were to ask me in a dark moment what was real, I'd just say education continues to be our biggest challenge. Once again, you know, it's very interesting. I teach these capstone courses at Michigan, and I have so many students who've gone off and done so well. It's very hard to keep them here. We really haven't done the kinds of things that are required. We're below the national average on bachelor's degrees. There are lots of options that people have these days. You know, careers are much more fluid. The way we treat teachers, what we've done with our schools. There's some encouraging things. The Kalamazoo Promise, I think, is encouraging, at least to some degree.
But the big picture.
The big picture is we've got to do a better job of keeping our best and our brightest at home, and we've got to do a better job at really preparing them skill-wise. I was looking before I came here at some of the kind of key numbers about where Michigan falls in terms of bachelor degrees or in terms of GDP per person or in terms of venture capital per person, and it's disappointing. And it all sort of starts with education, and then I start comparing it to places like Minnesota, Wisconsin, which are in the top quartile, while we're kind of in the bottom quartile. And I see government come out with all these numbers, and I have to tell you, when I look at sort of more objective data, I'm deeply suspicious. So I think education has to be fixed.
You know, there were so many promising ideas that we have heard over these months that could really drastically improve people's learning, their health, their lives. But how do we close the gap between the people who can luckily afford to access that technology and those who are disadvantaged? They don't have the money, for instance.
I've got an interesting story around this. I'm a technologist by trade. That's my doctoral area. And interestingly enough, about 1990, I got a call from Life magazine. And they wanted to talk about innovation. I thought, wow, they want to talk to me about innovation. They actually wanted to talk about one of my great uncles who I didn't know. I didn't know this man was related to me, Robert Fair DeGraff. And he was well known for inventing paperback books. He's the guy who founded Pocket Books. And when I started looking into this guy, he made their list of the 100 most important people of the 20th century. His theory was if he made books available, cheap enough, that's a technology, everyone would read. Illiteracy would be erased in America. But of course, it wasn't. And what struck me is I had been working on a project with Steve Jobs to develop literacy in California schools using technology. And I had the exact same results. So I think it's a double-edged sword. I think, one, we have to make things like internet access and the tools for internet access, the gadgets, far more available. But I also think there's a cultural issue here. I think the cultural issue is that we also have to have a culture that thinks that engaging in these tools to better our lives, to enhance ourselves in some meaningful way is important, as opposed to distractions or the kind of things that we're finding people are doing with these gadgets. Some of the studies that have come out of the University of Pennsylvania and Stanford recently about this kind of multitasking and distraction stuff is very alarming.
Indeed. There's going to be so much that I know you're going to be covering Monday at 7 p.m. at Pretzel Bell in Ann Arbor. Again, looking at how we break out of the silos and how entrepreneurs and businesses in Detroit, Ann Arbor, and Grand Rapids can build regional cooperation. So Michigan Radio's next Issues in Ale, Jeff and some great folks, our executive producer Joe Lindstroth will be there this Monday, February 19th, 7 p.m. at Pretzel Bell. You know, Jeff, your final essay for the next idea, you pose the final question for the next idea. What is the final next idea?
The ultimate innovation is to innovate people. And I think we're the greatest work of art we can produce. I can't emphasize enough that one of the things I'm very proud of in the state of Michigan is we have some really amazing people and we've heard a lot of them. I think the real issue is how do we infect everyone with that kind of can-do attitude, that kind of I'm improving myself, I'm developing myself, I'm innovating myself. And if I innovate myself, the business I'm creating and the art that I'm creating, I really think it comes down to a few things. Culture and competency. Are we going to develop the culture and competency that's required to do this? And if anybody's ever received a correspondence from me, I sign everything, vision, courage, freedom. And I think they're kind of key words here. I mean, one, I think the state needs to really have a vision of the future of some very specific areas it's innovating and what it expects from the citizenry. I think it needs to have the courage to spend the money on it. This is a big thing where a lot of times we don't. A lot of times we're more focused on cutting things than we are investing in things. We could do better. I'll leave it at that. And then finally, freedom. You know, one of the things about an entrepreneurial economy or an economy where people are expressing themselves or developing something in their lives, I think we have to be free and responsible to take that on ourselves to really grow.
Jeff DeGraff, Dean of Innovation at the University of Michigan and our partner in The Next Idea, thank you.
Cynthia, thanks to you and Joe and to Zoe and to Tamar and everybody involved. Keep moving forward, Michigan.